Okay, so you guys know that I'm passionate about wrestling. What you may not know is that I'm also a big fitness enthusiast. I'm passionate about wrestling, and I'm also passionate about fitness. But what's most important to me is, what am I putting into my body? That is what is important to me, and I would really encourage you guys to check out NAIOLabs.com. That's NAIOLabs.com, NAIOLabs.com. They have the cleanest pre-workout on the market. There's no tolerance buildup, no crash. There's a great pump with high energy. And if you're a vegan, well, you're in luck because this is a 100% vegan product. The ingredients are NCAA compliant. There's no fillers, no crap. Okay. You won't need to go to the bathroom in the middle of your workout. You don't need to just run to the bathroom, take a quick break and come back. That's not going to happen here. They also don't charge for shipping for US orders. And if you want 10% off, we all love saving money. If you want 10% off, well, I've got an offer for you right now. And put in the code when you're checking out, MATT2019, M-A-T-T 2019, and you'll get 10% off of your order. You can't go wrong here, guys. Check out NAIOLabs.com. They've got very high quality product, I'm telling you right now. And like I said, if you want that discount, use MATT2019 at your order at checkout, and you'll get 10% off of your order. Check out NAIOLabs.com today.
It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era to the Reality Era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. This is the very first edition of the Wrestling Nostalgia segment of the show, and thank you for joining me. I have one of my favorite memories I'm going to share today of wrestling's past, and that happened back in 2001 with Stone Cold Steve Austin coming to save the WWF from the WCW-ECW invasion, heading into the appropriately named Invasion pay-per-view. And we're going to get to that in just a couple of minutes. But first, I just want to set the table here. This is the WWE Podcast, and I do a show twice a week. One is covers SmackDown and Raw, and the other one is a wrestling nostalgia show. And this, however, since my schedule is a bit mixed up right now with some family stuff going on, which is just craziness, I'm going to mix a little bit of the two here. I just have some comments on Monday Night Raw that happened a couple of days ago, and then we'll get into the wrestling nostalgia portion of the show, which I'm really looking forward to, being able to look back. As many of you can probably relate, if you're listening to this podcast, more than likely you have gone through the Attitude Era. So I want to start out with the most popular era ever in sports entertainment and professional wrestling. And I want to start out with one of the biggest nights of all time in professional wrestling, in my opinion. So we're going to get to that. And in my mind, this is towards the top five moments that I remember as a teenager watching Monday Night Raw. And so, again, this is a WWE podcast, and you can find me anywhere. If you're listening to me, well, that means you found me. If you didn't, and you're wondering where else you can find me, or you want to share with a friend, you can let them know that I'm on Spotify, I'm on iHeartRadio, I'm on Spreaker, I'm on SoundCloud, and really anything else that you can think of. And the best way to help out the show, if you're like, hey, I really like this show, I want to help you out, well, cool. A couple ways to do it. You can either leave me a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, or you can join patreon.com/WWE podcast, where you can join for just $1. And what does that dollar get you? That dollar gets you into an ad-free experience of the show, and it gets you a shout-out on the show. And if you go up in tiers, which there are several available, you can get on the show and we can discuss WWE and create your own topics and do that sort of stuff. And it's really, I think, a good value for your dollar. And so, literally, dollar. But check me out there as well. If you want your ad-free experience, all the ads, plugs, everything is removed from the show. So, now, I just want to get into a little bit of Monday Night Raw, some of the points that I wanted to discuss, and then we'll get to the wrestling nostalgia portion. Monday Night Raw was, I think, a better show than last week overall. It was nowhere near perfect. I don't think I've ever seen a perfect Monday Night Raw. But that said, there are some major talking points. Number one, Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns returning after 4 months, basically there to let everybody know that he is in remission. The crowd with him every step of the way, as I really believe they should have been. Some people believe that the Roman Reigns cancer story is a hoax. Highly doubtful. I just don't think that the risk is worth the payoff, if indeed this was a work. Think about the risk and the blowback that WWE would have to endure had this been a whole hoax and it's revealed as such. Just think about that for a minute. A company that supports breast cancer awareness, that supports Connor's cure, and does all of these philanthropic ventures that they love to pat themselves on the back for on a weekly basis, having cancer be part of their storyline would be a massive PR nightmare for WWE. And to gain what? What do you gain out of it? The fan support for Roman Reigns after years of pushback? Not worth the complete disaster that would happen and land in WWE's lap if this comes out that it's a work. And I don't think it is. I really don't believe that. That would be just insanity. So as the old expression goes, the juice ain't worth the squeeze on that one by any means. So I think we can put that to rest. But I do think that the segment, while it was cool to see him, and I'm no Roman Reigns fan. Am I a Joe fan? Yeah. Am I a Roman Reigns fan? No, I'm not. And this still did not make me a Roman Reigns fan. There is very little you can do to make me a Roman Reigns fan. I am a fan of the man Joe. I'm not a fan of Roman Reigns. Again, this is not me saying that I think he's a terrible performer. I just don't enjoy the character that I believe is still a corporately manufactured and pushed character. It's the character, folks. Those of you that think, oh my God, he went through all this cancer and you still don't support him, let's separate life from reality before you jump down my throat. I support the man Joe who survived cancer and who was very real on Monday night and thanking the fans. Although I think the segment went a bit too long. And you could say, well, he's coming out to make an announcement. Great. Well, you could have cut that time in half. I mean, it just felt like he was out there forever. And just getting to the announcement that he was in remission felt like it was watching paint dry. And I don't think it was not a boring segment. It just felt like, tell us how you are. Like, that's why you're here. It felt like he milked the entrance and just was in slow motion. So, I mean, that's my only critique. Otherwise, it's great to hear that he's in remission. Obviously, very good news. Whether you're a fan of Roman Reigns, the character, or not, doesn't matter. I think it's positive all the way around. If you're a wrestling fan, this is positive news. Period. Case closed. And so great news on that front. And with Roman getting physical on Monday night, there's a possibility that he has a match at WrestleMania. There's still time to build something for him. Is it against Baron Corbin? Is it against Drew McIntyre? Or is it against in some kind of awkward Shield reunion after Seth defeats Brock Lesnar, maybe. I mean, but I think you can solidify the fact that Roman Reigns will be at WrestleMania and he will be there in some physical capacity, whether it's in a match, whether it's ringside. Maybe I've heard rumors of special guest referee for Seth Rollins' match with Brock Lesnar. I don't think that's a good idea, though, because then it would taint Seth Rollins' victory. But overall, great news. I'm happy, you know, now that I get to come on my Roman Reigns rants on a weekly basis. I can't wait. This will still not make me cheer at a live event for him. That is not in the cards for me. I will cheer for the man Joe, but once he goes back into the Roman Reigns scripted promos and goes back into his robotic self, which he may not, and this may have woke him up, and really opened the eyes of fans and opened the eyes of creative to let him just be him, and maybe it does. Maybe somewhere down the line I'll change my tune, but right now I'm still a Roman Reigns non-believer. And I mean that in a respectful way. I hope you guys can really decipher what I'm saying here. So anyway, Becky Lynch gets arrested. We also are coming, I think. She gets arrested and put in jail. And then Ronda Rousey has a very, very clumsy promo and once again shows her hand of her real personality, talking about this the ginger douche police officer or security guard or whoever was in the ring. And it's unbecoming of Ronda. Her personality traits that are reflective of her as a real person shine through in these moments. And that shined through here. It shined through with her awkward comment about avocado toast with the millennials, even though you're a millennial. She just says things that are just starting to pile up in the minds of fans. And while it's nice that she doesn't feel scripted, it still doesn't do her any favors when it comes to trying to continue to build her as a babyface. And if WWE, I don't know how to make this clearer, nor do I know how to articulate this any better to WWE than saying that while Ronda is a massive success in UFC, and they did a great, very good, overachieving, higher than anyone could have expected job since she debuted up until Becky Lynch got hot and they started to cross paths towards Survivor Series. They did an awesome job with Ronda. She had the majority of fan support. But if they believe that Ronda is going to be cheered in any way at WrestleMania, I don't care if it's in a triple threat where they can kind of hide her and not get her booed out of the building, it's still not going to happen. Where WWE envisions, well, Charlotte will get all the heat because she was the corporate selection, and Ronda is the one who fought for Becky to get in this match, because at this point, folks, I think I've just come to the realization that this is going to be a triple threat match. I'm just kind of in that depressed mode. While I am fighting still for a one-on-one, I've kind of come to terms with the fact that it is going to be a triple threat. I mean, I'm in those stages of denial, right? At first, or stages of grief. First, it's denial, right? I mean, I was in denial, and then it's you get kind of depressed, and that's kind of where I'm at. So I'm starting to work my way through the stages of grief. And eventually I'll get to acceptance. I'm getting there. I'm working on it. And so while WWE feels that Charlotte will get all the heat because she's the corporate selection, and Becky's going to get cheered, but Ronda's the one who's fighting for Becky to get into the match. And so Ronda is going to get the crowd support because if it wasn't for Ronda, Becky wouldn't be there. If that's really what WWE believes, they have another thing coming. I mean, for WWE to be as ignorant as that, especially in front of a super smart WrestleMania crowd that more than likely wanted a one-on-one, to feel that they have this, that they pulled one over on the fans where, well, we took Becky completely out of the match and, well, now she's being added back in. Well, she's not really being added back into a one-on-one. She's being added back into a triple threat. A triple threat that should not have happened to begin with. So those of you that are chanting for a triple threat as if it's some kind of great achievement, and those of you that cheered for a triple threat, and I heard it on Monday Night Raw, which made me angry. I wish it was the one-on-one chants I was hearing. I'm sure Vince McMahon was extremely happy backstage thinking, we got him. Well, no, you didn't. You didn't. And for me and likely the listeners of this show, you didn't. So for the, 50 to 100 people at the show that were chanting that, shame on you. I mean, really. Get with the program. You understand how booking works. That you have been basically marked. I mean, you have been worked. It was the word I'm looking for. You've been worked. And WWE got you. And thinking that a triple threat is some kind of achievement in the fantasy booking here. So, anyway, Becky gets arrested. She's going to work her way into the match, okay? And yes, it's a triple threat, and we'll all live with it. And so we're continuing to move along this path here, and once we get past Fastlane, I think it is going to be full steam ahead. There's one more stop, and we get to WrestleMania, so I expect things to heat up in a big way. The other couple things I wanted to touch on, Batista returning Monday Night Raw. Now, I have no problem with Batista returning. If you listen to my previous show, I spoke with a guest and I explained my somewhat of displeasure of the match with Triple H and Batista. And the reason that I have a bit of displeasure for it is, does anybody remember SmackDown 1000 that happened, a couple of months ago? Where Batista outright said, whatever happened, I didn't care. At the end of the day, I never cared about winning or losing. It was all about entertaining the fans. Can it get any more corporately grotesque than that? I mean, can it? That is about as corporately written as it gets. And Batista, I believes that. I think it wasn't also just a corporate line. You don't say those things. You save those for your Hall of Fame speech. Not when you have another match in mind. And by the way, erasing everything you've done the last 10 years in WWE, when you were active in WWE. You don't say those things. And we're just all supposed to forget it and go, yeah, well, the curtain's been pulled back, the hell with it. No, I still want to believe. So it was cool to see Batista. And while he is playing the heel, dragging Ric Flair out on his birthday, I actually think he should have been the babyface in this situation. Well, somebody say, well, that's on Twitter. No, I'm going to try to pull this up because this one's a special tweet here. And while I'm pulling this up, what I'm saying is Batista was primed for a babyface return. But his logic for wanting to be heel is because that, well, the last time WWE tried to push me as a babyface after a long hiatus, I got booed. That was a different set of circumstances, man. That was a Daniel Bryan year. That was Daniel Bryan's year, the underdog story. Triple H is not an underdog story. Not to mention that he has been mostly heel over the last couple of years. Although that depends on what role or hat he has on. If he's the NXT creator, if he's the corporately suited Paul Levesque. He wears too many hats for me to keep track of. But I would say the majority of his role has been as a heel. I think Batista, and then you heard the fans chanting for him. So I had this. You got to love this one. After I had said that Batista, why should I care about him winning or losing if he told us he doesn't care? I had a tweet say, somebody said, his job is to entertain the fans, win, lose, or draw. So is it really boiled down to just being entertained? Whatever happened to sports simulation? Clearly, the person who sent me this doesn't understand the psychology of sports at all. entertainment is not something you explicitly say you want to have happen. Entertainment comes through wanting to see your hero win and wanting to see the villain lose. That's how entertainment happens. It doesn't happen by telling me you want to be entertained. Entertainment doesn't just happen by saying you want to be entertained. It happens through wins and losses, through sports, entertainment. And that whole phrase in and of itself doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But you're entertained through the sports simulation that WWE puts on TV on a bi-weekly basis with Raw and SmackDown. And yes, there's NXT and Main Event and all that. But with the two big ones, Raw and SmackDown, they put out their entertainment product through sports simulation. That's how you're entertained. Entertainment is such a soft word. I'm not a fan of entertainment anyway. And if you have, by the way, if you've never seen the Paul Heyman promo that he cut on Vince McMahon, and I think it was 2003, 2004, maybe even 2005, I can't remember the year, somewhere in that range, when Paul Heyman cut a pipe bomb of a promo against Vince McMahon on SmackDown, you gotta check it out. Just YouTube it. Maybe that'll be my next nostalgia segment. But I really think that people are losing track here of what entertainment is. Win, lose, or draw, you don't care who wins, loses, or draws. So you have no emotional investment. You don't care. So if you have a favorite sports team, say my favorite is the New York Yankees. And I say, well, as long as I'm entertained, I don't care if they win or lose the World Series. Well, you're taking the human element out of it. I just don't understand how you're entertained. Are you entertained by maybe the comedy segments, the poorly scripted comedy segments? You want to have Adam Rose come out there with his rosebuds? You want to have No Way Jose come out there with a conga line? Is that what you're talking about with entertainment? Batista's job is not to come out there and explicitly entertain us. His job is to come out there and make me believe that he cares about winning and losing. And when he came out on SmackDown Live and pulled the curtain back completely, telling us he doesn't care and never cared about winning or losing, well, then I'm not supposed to care either now. Ugh. But I will watch the match. I'm intrigued from a nostalgia standpoint because I was, I think, 20, 21 years old when these two clashed at WrestleMania 21 back in 2005, I want to say. Oh, gosh, I think I was on spring break at that time. Good God. Yeah, I think I was on spring break. I remember seeing it was a Monday Night Raw before WrestleMania, and I remember seeing Batista and Triple H. And you're waiting for Batista to just snap on Triple H. And I remember him standing outside of the locker room where Triple H was basically making fun of Batista and Batista just smiling outside the door. I remember that scene very well during my drunken moments on spring break in Myrtle Beach. Boy, those were the times. My God, maybe that'll be a whole nother spinoff of my spring break stories. And if you're an ex of mine, you may not want to listen, or you maybe not care, but maybe that's why we're exes. But anyway, all right, so I'm going to get to the wrestling nostalgia segment. And again, I'm going to play a little clip for you. And this is from when Stone Cold returned to save the WWF from WCW and ECW.
And he claimed that by God's rules.
So that's a short clip, and I forgot how awesome that line was from JR. They parted the Red Sea. Great line, great metaphor, great visual on that. I know that it's a biblical reference, whatever. Awesome, awesome analogy by Jim Ross, who always made everything better. I mean, he could make watching grass grow sound interesting. I mean, he has that talent. He always has. One best commentator of all time, best color, or not color, but best wrestling announcer of all time. Hands down. I mean, could you make an argument for other announcers and Gorilla Monsoon? Of course, even Vince McMahon was very good, but Jim Ross really added to this, and Michael Cole did too. But Michael Cole is no Jim Ross, and unfortunately, Michael Cole, I think his skills are often lost because he always seemed to live in the shadow of Jim Ross, and he still does, I think, to this day, because of how good Jim Ross was and how high he set the bar, that Michael Cole is and was for many years always compared to Jim Ross. And I don't think that's fair. When Michael Cole's not on Raw, and it's only happened a handful of times over the past 10 years, it's noticeable and it's glaring. And I don't think that Michael Cole often gets the respect he deserves for being able to navigate so many different things now. But that segment overall was one of the most memorable in my estimation. It was a great story because everybody wanted that old Stone Cold back. They wanted the old Austin. Vince McMahon wanted the old Austin to save the WWF from WCW and ECW and lead the team. And he spent weeks trying to bring him back and follow him from bar to bar and try to convince him to be that guy again. He didn't want the Stone Cold that gave him hugs and have Deborah make him cookies. It was a great story to tell. You just want the old badass Stone Cold Steve Austin back. And we got it for that night. If you remember the Invasion pay-per-view, he turned heel again for a second time and trying to make the heel turn work by attacking Kurt Angle and joining the Alliance, becoming the leader of the Alliance, which even Stone Cold admittedly had said himself on his podcast that he doesn't really remember a whole lot from that, other than maybe like the milk truck that Kurt Angle brought in and doused everybody with. And JR had the awesome line about Stephanie McMahon that she became a Dairy Queen. I mean, he had some classic stuff, but it was not Austin's favorite time. He became a bully as a leader, and he tried everything he could to get the fans to hate him. And eventually that morphed into the What thing, which is still going on. How many years later? So it was 2002. So what, 17 years later, the What thing is still going on a weekly basis. I mean, unbelievable length that has carried. And I think the younger fans may not have any clue where it originated. I mean, if you watched wrestling over the past 10 years, you're just like, oh, well, that's a cool thing or a funny thing that they do. Every time that there's a pause in a promo, they say, what? Well, do you have any idea where it came from? And so the What thing came out of the whole Invasion angle after Austin turned heel for a second attempt. And then he eventually just gave in and turned babyface for the final time and rode that out until he retired in 2003. So, again, one of my favorite moments, clearing the ring, stunners, crowd was ballistic. And loved it. And as I always mention, you know, I Stone Cold is my favorite wrestler of all time. And it's not really an interesting favorite wrestler. I mean, some people like to give their favorite wrestler as well. Everybody likes so and so, but I liked British Bulldog. He was my favorite. Or they give somebody that was never a top guy. And I think sometimes that's just to be different. When deep down they actually did have a favorite wrestler like Triple H or Stone Cold or The Rock or The Undertaker. And so, again, that was just a nice memory that I have how old was I? I was born in 85, so I was 16 at the time. Man, I was 16 when that happened. It does not feel like 17 years ago, 18 years ago. Man. Time fly, doesn't it? It's insane. That was half of my life ago that clip happened. And obviously, you know, there were many other moments with Austin that I will share. This is not going to be an exclusive Stone Cold recap. As I said in the intro, this is a wrestling nostalgia. I mean, there's some really cool things I want to go over, and maybe I'll bring out Shawn Michaels Undertaker from 97, which is when I first started watching. But again, I'll share that with you as I go along. I'll take suggestions if you guys have some suggestions that you'd like to bring up. And again, I really can't go too far back other than 97 unless I go back in the WWE Network and watch it, which I'm more than willing to do. But I just want to let you know firsthand that I never watched anything prior to really early 97. So if you guys have suggestions, tweet me at the WWE Podcast. And I will take suggestions as I go along in this segment. I think it's going to be a fun segment, especially to see what you guys think of all of these different memories that we all like to go back and YouTube and now WWE Network it and all of that and relive the moment. So, guys, I hope you enjoyed this. Hope you enjoyed my quick recap of Raw and my highlights from the show. And one more thing on the Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman finish. So apparently just playing someone's music ends a match. I mean, how does WWE think that that's a finish to a match? You can't even do a double disqualification. It has to just be, they fight outside and, we'll just play somebody's music because we don't have a finish for this match. I mean, does it get any lazier? Really? It's some things like that. Like, what? But I will end on a positive note because I like to end. I'm going to try to end on a positive note with something I liked from this week and not always just slam things, as one person put it on my Apple Podcast review, that I complain all the time, which, you know what? I don't think it's complaining as it is passionate, constructive criticism. And I can frame it any way I want. It's not so much complaining. Complaining would be, oh, WWE sucks. They're doing this. I think they should push this person. I don't whine about it. What I do is come up with solutions. I come up with recommendations of why I think what I think. It's just arguments against what they're doing at times. Complaining is what children do. When you have a solution to a problem, or you have an argument against what is happening and have evidence to back it up, that's called debating. That's called trying to improve the product with your knowledge. So, but I would like to end on a positive note. And that would be that I am really actually excited about the NXT call-ups. As terrible as their debuts have been, and they've been terrible. Okay, I mean, they at least with no fanfare, no prior thought, they just dumped them on the roster and said, well, let's see what the fans do with this, which is terrible. I'm actually excited for WWE's next wave of the NXT call-ups. I really am. I think especially Ricochet, who seems to be leading the pack here. Aleister Black, not far behind. And I'm really just, I'm very excited to see what WWE does with them, because WWE is no longer a big man territory. They are getting younger. They're getting quicker, which not always a good thing. I don't like 100 miles an hour in a match, and I don't need to see 40 flips in a match. I like good ring psychology. These guys are being trained in the best place possible in the WWE Performance Center. The trainers down there are top notch. But it's a great system that WWE has going right now, and I'm especially excited for Ricochet, Aleister Black, Eric Young, all these guys, which I think are going to be big, big, big stars in the next 5 years or so. I know, you know, it's not going to happen this year. It's not going to happen next year. Maybe not the year after. But it's called laying the foundation, and you need to always have the next person there, because guys will wear down. Characters may not get over. Guys get hurt. Things happen. And so I'm really, I'm more excited about being a professional wrestling fan than I ever have been. So how about that for a positive ending? All right. So that's what all I got to say about today. Again, guys, I have a lot of family stuff going on right now, which I'm trying not to publicize here because it's a public forum and I think it's a private deal. But there's some family stuff going on. So that's why the schedule is a little bit like here, there, everywhere. And I apologize for that. I'm trying to still watch wrestling. I'm trying to catch up on SmackDown. I did see Kevin Owens returned and took the place of Kofi Kingston, which is interesting. I'll have to see exactly how that happened. So that's why I'm not really commenting on it yet. So my apologies if you're like, hey, you didn't cover SmackDown. Well, it's because I haven't watched it yet. So that's why. But later this week, there's a lot happening again personally. So I'm going to try to, if nothing else, tweet some of my thoughts out and try to get out another show before week's end. But no promises. Again, with all of the stuff going on that, you know, maybe I'll share in the near future or maybe not. It's just personal stuff. It may or may not happen, but I am here, guys. I promise if you're like, you're ready to go, I want my show, I'm here. It's just going to take me maybe a little bit longer or just kind of a random day. You'll see my my thoughts pop up. So that's where I'm at. I just wanted to share that with you guys. And listen, everybody, enjoy your day, your night, your morning, your evening, whatever time of day it is for you. And as always, I'll talk to you next time.